Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel, and I have Megan Coakley with me today. Megan is the director of the Office of the New Evangelization here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. She's also a good friend of Heart of the Father Ministries and the founder of the Queen of the Rosary Unbound team. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Rachel. I'm happy to be here with you.
Good. How are you doing today?
All fine. Yep. Persevering in the Lord. Full of perseverance.
Well, let's start out. Why don't you share a little bit about yourself? What do you feel like you want people who are listening today to know about you?
Sure. Well, let's see. So I'm born and raised in central New Jersey, born into a practicing Catholic family. And then I had a personal conversion when I was 18 years old, just fell deeply in love with Jesus. And so we went off to college basically looking to study about him. And so I studied theology for a long time. And so my vocation really is working for the church. As you mentioned, I work for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in the Office for the New Evangelization. So I get to do probably the most fun job in the church, although also the most arduous, which is just going out and making missionary disciples. So that's a good job. And let's see, I'm a single woman. I'm 42 years old, and I have a bunch of lovely nieces and nephews that I visit often. And I think that's it.
And so doing this work, you're following the Lord and really pursuing him and building the kingdom. And so how did you first hear about Unbound in your journey?
Yeah, so I had heard about it a few times from various friends, you know, just over the years recommending it, because I've always had an interest in like inner healing. Yeah, just kind of internal work, healing from wounds, things like that. So it's been like an area where the Lord has worked certainly in me personally, but also just trained and equipped me for ministry in that area. So, but I had never actually pursued Unbound at that point. And then I actually met Neil when Philadelphia was hosting the World Meeting of Family. So Neil had contacted me to be an exhibitor. And so we were just talking about the different options. So I got to know him a little bit, just really on the phone. And then at some point he invited me to the Unbound conference right after the World Meeting, that November 2015. And I was like, you know what? It's time. So I went, and it was funny, when I went, I just felt so at home, like from all of my background of formation and training and kind of inner healing. And I hadn't done any work in the area of deliverance, but because Unbound is so also just so healing, I just felt immediately at home and very comfortable. And I had this sense that I was on very solid ground. That's basically how I kind of encountered it and experienced it and then went from there.
That's great. I love how you said really solid ground. That's how I definitely feel about Unbound too, that you feel like it is. It's built on the rock, right? It's built on really solid theology that you can feel safe and comfortable using it, for sure.
Yeah. And the respect for the person, you know, and that understanding of that reverence that's required. Like it was so, for me, my background is John Paul II's theology of the body. And so all of that, so it coincided so beautifully with that whole theology of the church.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. And I remember that World Meeting of Families. I definitely went and helped as an exhibitor over at the convention center. That was great.
Yeah. A lot of people flowing through there, right?
Yeah. It was amazing. It was such an amazing experience to be able to be a part of that. And then I remember being down on the parkway and waiting for the Pope and letting him say mass for all of us. It was really an amazing experience.
Yeah, momentous time for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it definitely was. So you came to a conference, you felt really at home, you felt like this was the Lord's next step for you. And so what took you from coming to that conference to actually deciding to build an Unbound team?
Yeah, so definitely at the conference, you know, like I said, it just really resonated very much internally with my own personal mission, you know, so for sure I knew on the personal side, I want to be doing this. Like, here's a way, a very kind of safe, clear, solid way for me to begin to like help people heal. So I knew on the personal level that that was what I was, that Jesus was giving me something that I could work with. And then I think pretty soon after that, just because my whole life is so embedded with my ministry as the diocese, it just let, in a sense, it bled very naturally into the fact, just a very obvious sense of that this is not just for me, but actually our local church, and in fact, the church universal needs this, because we're suffering because we're not healed, right? We're a lot of us, the church herself is not functioning as she should be because there's so much stuff in our hearts that hasn't been dealt with. And I'm so aware of that in my work for evangelization. So I wanted to bring it not only personally, but to the diocesan level, because I think it is a critical missing piece in the church's work of evangelization. So that's kind of what moved me from the one to the other. It was just a pretty natural, like, boom, boom, you know, like personal and then professional, just boom, boom, right away. And then, yeah, so that's kind of what moved me from the one to the other.
Well, I just love hearing you share your story, because I just feel like you're such a great example of the Lord puts something before you and you do it. Like, you do the next right thing that he puts right in front of you, which it's a really amazing thing to watch and to hear you talk about. Obviously, this is needed and I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a grace in being in a position where I could kind of, I mean, certainly I have a little bit of authority to like accomplish it, which is a gift, because I know so many people, when they try to start, run into so many roadblocks, and I'm in a position where I can kind of remove roadblocks for people. So I can, and also it helps when you want to, yeah, when Jesus wants you to do something. Thanks be to God, I had the right relationship here. I think that's probably really important for everybody to know, like having the right relationship that you can work with and get support from. I think also too, one thing that really helps things go well is having built a relationship of trust with the people around you, that they know that I or you or anyone who's trying to start Unbound is trustworthy and solid and faithful and prayerful and not off their rocker. I think having a preliminary kind of validity about you and kind of like not being disobedient, those kinds of things pave the way for bringing in something new that I do think, you know, as you guys have run into all the time with Unbound, not being understood. And so people just immediately being like, no, because they don't understand it. But when they meet you guys, like when I met Neil, I was like, this guy's so just normal, like he's just normal and solid and just like a calm human being. And that really is what kind of helped pave the way, even for me, for my own discernment.
Right. Well, it definitely sounds like, and it takes patience. You know, sometimes we want to rush into things and we need to respect the people around us and to build those relationships. And we can't forget the importance of building those relationships first, instead of getting frustrated when things aren't going the way that you want them to, and you don't feel like people are listening and understanding. You need, like you have in your career, of building a level of respect and trust among the people around you. So that's really key. I love how you shared that.
Yeah. And I will say too, I have not run into too many major roadblocks, but I did have one. And I will say, just for anybody who is running into roadblocks, like one thing, and we know this from our life with the Lord, but just to share by way of testimony, that basically a roadblock appeared and I was like devastated. And then all of a sudden, it just, the Lord just showed me the way around it. And it required some alterations. It required a shifting of location, but it was absolutely what needed to happen. In the moment, I was mad. I was totally mad. But of course, Jesus absolutely was using the roadblock to get our ministry where he wanted it. I just want to like offer that as encouragement too, that even the no's that you get are a part of his crafting. Like, it's a part of what he's doing. And I know we know that, but sometimes in the moment it's hard. It's hard. So just for everybody to kind of know that I have absolutely been there, and there's always a way around it and a creative kind of rebirthing that he's going to accomplish. I'm so happy that roadblock came. I have to say, now I'm so happy that roadblock came.
And hindsight 2020. And it's, that advice is great, not only if you're starting an Unbound team, but just in life in general, right? That those roadblocks come, but the Lord is always working everything for our good. And even though we can't see it, we have to trust and hearing your testimony just gives words and vision to that, to keep that in mind no matter what the roadblock is. So thanks for sharing that. So how long has your team been in existence for? How long have you been doing?
So I've been running the team. I probably started pretty soon after I went to that first conference. So probably would have been early 2016. So what does that make, 6 years?
Yeah, like not quite 6 years, but we're getting there. Yeah,
we're getting there. Yeah.
And so how have you kept growing your team and kept people energized? Like 6 years can be a long time for people to do this. Sometimes, yeah, there's a risk of burnout. You want to keep growing because, as you mentioned in the beginning, there's definitely a need. And so having those teams available to minister to people, so that you keep growing, keep people energized and excited.
Yeah. So I'll share a little bit about how we got people initially, because it was kind of people might find it helpful as far as how we started. And then I'll talk a little bit about the growth and the energizing. So in the beginning, I remember once I discovered it was like the diocese needs this, we sent out some regional info sessions where actually Neil and Matt, which the gift is you guys are in our diocese, right?
Right.
So Neil and Matt can come to stuff. But this can be done even if Neil and Matt are not around, because you could show a little video clip or something like that. But we did regional info sessions that were just like maybe an hour and 15 minutes, not long, but people could show up and just find out about it. And it really was just intro to Unbound. So we did that, I think, 4 times. And then I also ran a training, I think, in that early 2016 as well. And why I think both kinds of things are important is because it starts to show you and bring to the surface people who are already interested in, either already know about Unbound, right? Because Jesus has been preparing your team members even before you find them. So usually you'll find people who have already been fallen in love with it. And so that something, an event will surface those people, as well as people who may just have an interest in that area, may have a charism in that area. It's going to attract the people who desire this kind of ministry. So that is what kind of in the beginning is what formed my core people that I invited, along with just prayer warriors that I knew in my life, you know, just people who I knew were just on their knees all the time and solid, just good, solid, emotionally healthy people. And then, so as far as maintaining and ongoing, I run a basic training pretty much every year. Once the basic training videos were available, I would run that almost every summer. And one thing that's neat is just people who love Unbound really love it. And so like people would come multiple years in a row, even though they've already been through basic. But basically, you kind of can't get tired of it. Like, it's just so helpful every time you hear. So I would say that we've also met a few times just to pray the rosary together, because that's our patroness is Mary, our Lady Queen of the Rosary. And then I would say actually the sessions themselves keep everybody energized. You know, you just encounter the deep with people. And then the debriefing after the sessions, like that, I don't know, I find that even the sessions themselves really refresh everyone. One thing as far as avoiding burnout, and we could talk about this as far as really the only difficulty that I've had with Unbound is just forming leaders and we can like get into that if need be. But currently I am our only leader. I did have two leaders, and then for very good reason, they branched off into their part of the diocese because it's just they were traveling over an hour to come. They're up in Bucks County now, which is phenomenal. But now I'm back to being our only leader, and it's hard forming leaders because jobs change or whatever. Anyways, but I lost my train of thought.
So hard forming leaders, you lost your leaders and now.
Oh, okay. Right. One of the recommendations that I make as far as you mentioned burnout, avoiding burnout, is just I try to really pace how much I advertise our team, because right now I'm our only leader and I'm still working on building up new leaders. I don't want us to get overwhelmed with requests that we can't handle. And so that's one thing also it's just good to know. Number one, to give yourself permission to like proceed slowly and not like put the word out everywhere, but maybe work through word of mouth at first to start to get the experience in. But anyway, I'm very paced on how much I advertise. Once I have a few more leaders, I'll put the word out even more. And so there's a way that you can start to monitor, like if I advertise this much, this is how many calls I'm going to get. Therefore, just to make sure nobody burns out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's wise advice. I think that I get to talk to a lot of different people who lead teams, and they have a hard time setting boundaries sometimes, you know, that I can't help everyone. And it's good. It's a good heart that we want to help everybody. But we have to remember the Lord is taking care of them. And it's not our job and he hasn't made it our job to help every single person, that he's also orchestrated it, that there's other people that can help them. And we could trust him that if we can't meet with everybody right away, that he will take care of them.
Absolutely. And I found that to be true for sure.
And it's okay to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and actually,
if you burn out, it's definitely not going to help anybody, right?
Yeah. Our Archbishop just recently used a metaphor with evangelization of just saying, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So just like learn the cadence that you need to run the marathon long term, you know?
Right. And that's right.
Definitely something we're figuring out. And I think so far doing pretty well with.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. I mean, your team's been around for 6 years. So I feel like
you are
in it for the long haul and learning how to pace yourself for sure. Well, I feel like you shared a lot about advice you would give other people. Is there anything else that you wish you knew in the beginning that you know now, but you didn't know when you started that you wish you did, that you could share with others?
Yeah, well, certainly around leader training, I wish I knew earlier on how to do it. So I've talked with Matt about this multiple times because, and even with you, about observing people and just the awkwardness of when someone's in the position to begin leading and you're observing them. I always have this fear of the person coming in for prayer, basically getting the impression that they got the training. I still kind of worked out how to balance that, but Matt has taught me later on to just be forthright about it. Just say, right now, this person is practicing leading. I may intervene, et cetera. And that kind of gives a freedom to it. And so I think now I've probably been avoiding that just because of the awkwardness for a long time. And I have this sense now, like, just do it. And trust that even getting the person who's in training is part of Jesus' plan for that person. You know, that is part of the plan and not plan B. So I would say that. And then what I said before, too, just about any obstacles are part of what he's doing.
Yeah. And I would agree that just that remembering the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And that even if that person is brand new and it's their first time leading a session, like you were sharing, the Lord could still use them. He wants to use them to touch this person's heart and set them free. And what a gift that person is. We don't have to see it as a drawback or something not as good as an experienced leader. Oh, you know, people always looking for Neil or Matt to minister to them. And I'm like, we have great leaders who've been praying for years and years and years, and they might be a better fit for you, you know? And
one other thing that comes to mind that I just have found so helpful, and I remember Matt said it to me early on when he was observing me. I think I was praying with a young woman, and then afterwards I was just like, I don't know if anything happened. You know, it was not enough, you know, because right, all of us is kind of that fear of it not having, I didn't do enough if you don't see this dramatic liberation happen during your session. I remember Matt said to me very simply, don't look for fireworks. Like, that's not what the session is about. And so I think 6 years in, really learning to cultivate that discipline of just, as you guys always say, that the measure of success is that the person was loved and led through the keys. That's it. And so to not be pressing for the drama or the fireworks. And I do have to say, 6 years in, what you find is sometimes the most quiet sessions, in a sense, the person's testimony afterward is like, oh my gosh, they experienced dramatic liberation. So that's just something you learn over time as well, that when you're in the session, because sometimes I find like in the session, if like nothing, quote, happening, you know, then there's that creeping in on me of a little insecurity of like, oh gosh, I'm not helping. I'm not doing anything, right? It's all I, right? That's part of the self-reliance. and to really, over time, you do begin to learn that Jesus works just as much in the silence and the quiet as he does in really profound moments that he lets us see.
Amen. And it's not, you don't really know until you talk to them, maybe even a year later, right? How profound and how much their lives have changed. And an emotional moment is wonderful for everyone involved. It's wonderful for the person who's receiving ministry to have that release. It's wonderful for us to be able to be part of it and see it, but that's not the long haul. That it's a wonderful moment, but we really want to see people have a change and draw near to the Father for the rest of their lives. like we were saying, a lot of times that does happen in the quiet. So what is the best part about leading an Unbound team?
Leading a team, I think just walking with these wonderful people. I mean, right, the people, I mean, I know we have to do vetting, right? Some people might be attracted to Unbound for the wrong reason, right. But for the most part, they're attracted for the right reasons. They have these beautiful, compassionate hearts. They have their own gifts and charisms. And so just, I think the joy of walking with them and then together as we encounter each person coming for prayer, just every time someone comes for prayer, it's a new discovery of the human heart, right? And the way that Jesus works and the way that Jesus heals. The fact that you're always doing it in a team, right? It's never just you in the person. And so you're experiencing that together. And so I think there's just a beauty in that and a bonding. Like it just bonds you as a team because you're encountering this really profoundly beautiful thing. And but also something like that's such an honor. Like I think many times after when we do our debrief after the sessions, we'll all just feel like we're not worthy of this. You know, to hear this person deep, how are we the ones allowed to listen? And so I think that just the joy of then experiencing that together. And I do think, although again, like I said, I'm having trouble gathering leaders, still getting them ready is even just a beautiful thing to watch people like step into their own gift. That is a beautiful thing too.
I agree with that because that is what I get to do with our team is to observe people and give them feedback as they're doing sessions. And it is such a great experience, especially you've been observing, you've been giving feedback. And that moment when they do a session, you're like, ready, you know, like you're ready to go do this on your own. You feel really confident. It's just such a beautiful moment, both in the session, watching that person get set free, but also watching this person you've come alongside and helped train to really come fully into those gifts.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So you do a ton, right? You have a demanding job. You lead this team. How do you care for yourself and your own spirit as you pour yourself out for other people?
Yeah, I'm probably number one is just prayer, just with Jesus a lot. I have a very regular prayer life, regular schedule of prayer every day that I'm very, very faithful to. For that reason exactly, like just because if there's no prayer, there's no nothing. So number one prayer that Jesus feeding me and loving me and just that so sustained period encounter of being loved and fed by him. And then also, I'm definitely very big, like you learn this in ministry, that boundaries are really important. So I do keep to pretty good boundaries with like work schedule and quantity of hours spent on things. Precisely for what you were saying before, that we aren't responsible for the whole world, that in fact, as we set boundaries, it's actually giving Jesus permission to step in for that person or for that need or for whatever it is. So I have seen the fruit of that. And so setting good boundaries is really important. I also make sure to exercise regularly. I like to be outside. I like to go bird watching. I like to ride my bike and also just read like lighthearted books. Once I get home from work, I'm like, no more theology. Agatha Christie, leave me alone.
So I'm going to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just that balance, striking a very human balance in your life and critical.
So we're winding down. Do you have any favorite testimony that comes to mind from when you've ministered to someone or maybe one of your leaders has shared with you that really sticks with you over the years?
Yeah. It's actually one of our very early prayer sessions. And in fact, it was a priest that was leading. It was his first time leading and I was observing him. And it was a young man who had come to us and he had some pretty significant issues. But I remember one point in the session, he had shared with us about how his father had said to him, "You are not my son." That we were like, oh boy, there it is, right? With all the other darkness in his life, that really struck us as like, oh my gosh, major entryway. So the priest dealt with it, you know, as a curse and forgiveness, et cetera. But I have to say, there weren't any fireworks in the session. Like we knew we had dealt with big things, but he went home and that was it. We didn't have any, there was no emotion, just went through the keys and that was it. And then we got an email from him later, basically just saying, "You have no idea what you've done for me." Oh, and this is, I think I can quote it, "A weight and a shadow that I have carried my entire life is gone."
Wow.
And it just, that alone, right? Just, as maybe like a young adult man would do, two sentences, not everything. And I just think, and I think for that priest, especially being his very first time leading, mm-hmm. and to not have seen any major manifestation of emotion during the session, to have that level of liberation, pretty, like it was probably 3 days later, just that was probably one of our favorites, because it was such a confirmation of the team, because we were just starting. And so it was like Jesus just saying, yep, this is the right thing.
Right. That's great. And yeah, this is why we do this, right? I loved how you talked about earlier how ministering to people brings life and refreshment. And you hear that, you're like, this is it, that it doesn't have to always be draining or pouring out. But as you minister, the Lord pours into you as well. Yeah,
absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Megan. And for those of you out there, if you are wondering how you can connect with an Unbound team like Megan, either to receive ministry or to minister to others, you can head over to our website at heartsofthefather.com and choose Find a Team from our drop-down menu. This will take you to a list of all our network teams across the globe. So we hope you will check it out and get connected. So thanks again, Megan, for joining me. And thanks to all of you who are listening for joining us today. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com. And find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.